Hi everyone, I'm Brooke.
I'm Adria.
And this is What Have You Done? Hi guys.
Hi. This is welcome to our second attempt at this. Actually, it's probably the 50th attempt at it.
I know. I definitely was going to say that's probably like this is not the second time. This is a good 4th, 5th, 6th try.
Yeah. So, we're hoping to do this weekly, but I was kind of a loser this last week and it got pushed back a little bit, so sorry about that.
It happens. I'm not too worried. Life is stupid busy, so
yeah,
it's understandable.
It is, and it, especially with the time change, I feel like time goes by so much faster now. Like today, the whole day went by real quick.
Yeah, same, and I really didn't even do that much.
Yeah, I went to the gym this morning for the first time in 2.5 years, maybe. Probably longer than
wow,
that.
Wow, good for you. That's impressive. I haven't gone in forever because yeah. I suck.
It was more so my son wanted to be able to go and like run on a treadmill and stuff. So I finally caved and then he put it off for a few weeks and we finally went. And I'm...
Damn, though. Good for him.
I am severely out of shape. Severely.
Me too.
Yeah. I didn't want to show it in front
of him.
I get
winded going up the stairs.
Yeah, exactly. That makes me feel better because you seem like you'd be in better shape than me, so...
Yeah, I got nothing.
So, something creepy happened while we were recording last week, or I guess 2 weeks ago.
And it was pretty cool. I saved the clip, but I guess we didn't talk anything about the fact that my apartment is super creepy.
Yeah, no.
Well, it's not terrible, but I didn't mention it at all. I did make a list of all the things that have happened here that I can touch on quickly.
Yes.
Because I have to write everything down, otherwise I don't remember. The first creepy thing that ever happened here, which was definitely, like, the creepiest, and I've never seen anything like that happen. I was in the kitchen, and my roommate and I walked into the kitchen, and she had turned around, and I was still facing, like, all the cabinets, and I literally just watched the drawer open by itself. I've never seen anything right in front of me move like that, and it was we weren't near it at all. Like, nobody touched it. The floor, you know, we tried like stomping on the floor and seeing if it would make it open, and it didn't. Ugh. So that was crazy.
That is creepy.
And then just the other day, this was a day or two after we had recorded our first episode, we have like this little white like table thing that has a couple shelves in it and there's Tupperware in it, and I had walked past it and my dog was following me, and I heard a noise, so I turned around just in time to see like a Tupperware lid like fling out at the dog.
She probably shit herself.
And like she wasn't yeah, she, because I was enough to, you know, it was enough to see her move out of the way. And it didn't just, like, fall off and, like, plop on the floor. Like, it went out and at her.
So almost like someone tossed it?
Yeah, like, it almost got, like, pulled off. And it was, again, directly towards the dog because she had to move out of the way.
Ooh.
And then one of our, the bathroom looks directly at the, down the stairs to the hallway where the front door is. Mm-hmm. And there's an automatic light down there. So it turns on, you know, when there's movement. And I've never, like, it's always worked fine. It's never turned on and off, like, by itself that I've ever noticed. Like, it's always worked perfectly fine. And just, this is more towards when I had first moved in here. I came out of the bathroom, so I just opened the door, and it faced right down the hall, and the light was on. And nobody was here. Like, the dogs weren't here. My roommate wasn't here.
No, thanks.
And I was like, that's weird. Yeah, and that's what I mean. That's the only time it's ever done it.
Ugh, that's creepy.
Yeah. And then both my roommate and I have heard, like, talking and voices at different times. And then what's relevant to last week's episode is that we both, well, I guess more me, have heard different, like, knocking sounds here. And I think I was editing our last episode.
Yeah.
And I was telling you that while I was editing, I could hear knocking.
Yeah, I remember
outside
that.
Outside my bedroom door. And then a couple minutes later, I got to a piece of our audio that was, like, such a distinct, like, right next to the microphone knocking.
That is crazy.
And, yeah. And so I saved that piece of audio because I wanted to play it in this episode. You guys can listen to it because it's pretty weird. Who knows? I mean, I guess I'm very much like, maybe these things can be explained. Who knows? But it's still fun and interesting. So I figured we could play it for everybody.
Yeah, play it now.
If I had to guess, I would say at least half.
Yeah, it's around that. It's like...
That noise is so creepy because it's so clear. And it's not like one of us would just be knocking on the table. Like, if I do it right now, it doesn't sound... like that. Like, it's
right. It was right up against the microphone and, like, the exact same sound twice in a row, and neither of us, like, acknowledge it or anything. Like,
yeah, right.
It's like in the middle of us talking, so I don't know, just weird, but kind of fun.
Yeah,
I'm sure there'll be more things happening between this episode and the next, because there's always something weird happening here.
Right. And here, too, as you probably know.
Oh, yeah.
They have a ghost cat.
Yeah. Oh, but she moves your curtains.
Yep, she moves my curtains and bats stuff off of the dining room table.
Still being annoying, knocking things off.
Yeah, right.
Even when she's not there anymore.
We actually haven't had anything with that in a while. It's been a long time. I wonder if because we have the new cat that she's kind of gone away. I say she, but who even knows? Because I think it was, I don't remember who suggested it, but someone suggested that it might be a ghost acting like a cat to get my attention, and that kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, that's really creepy. I'd rather think of it as my old cat.
Right, exactly. R.I.P. We have a motion sensor on the garage outside, and you can see it from the kitchen, and sometimes it will just go on and no one's out there, and that kind of freaks me out. But at least then it's like there's wind and everything.
Yeah, maybe a squirrel, maybe. But still, there's something about a light going on by itself while nobody's there that's creepy.
Yes, for sure. I guess we can get into it, huh?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm excited. This is a good one. I did a lot of research for this one.
I know. It sounds like you have a long one.
Yeah, this one's pretty lengthy, so I don't know if we want to start with it or end with it.
Why don't we?
What are you thinking?
I was thinking maybe we could start with mine because it's a little shorter.
Perfect.
And
sounds good.
It's kind of out of the blue because I was researching something different. And I get really, like, I don't know if it's my ADHD or whatever, but I could not focus on that particular subject. It was something my brain was just like, no, not interested. I was going to do the gin that I mentioned from the sleep paralysis episode because I thought it'd be a good lead-in, and I just couldn't get into it. I don't know. There was a lot of biblical stuff about it, and I didn't think that that was going to be part of it, so... I don't know.
Oh, gotcha. That makes sense.
So what I decided to talk about was the history of astrology and, like, the zodiac and all that
thing. Ooh, yeah. Okay.
So a lot of people know it, and a lot of people probably think that, you know, it's bullshit. But I think there's something to it.
I do too. I'm not a...
Go ahead.
I'm not a super, like, believer in it, but I do think there's some... aspect to it. I'm very, like, into the universe and stuff, and I think there's some truth to it and very interesting aspects to it, but I'm not, like, astrology Fuck.
I don't even know. You're not, just, you're not Miss Cleo, is what you're saying.
Astrology crazed. There we go. Oh. That's what I was searching for.
Right. So, I mean, the basic thing that people know about astrology is what stars and planets were directly above you in your sky the moment you were born. Exact moment to the minute. I've been obsessed with it since I was, like, a little kid. Like, back, you might be too young for this, but there used to be 900 numbers that you would call and get your horoscope read to you on the phone.
What?
Right.
I have never heard that.
So, there would be this woman on. I don't know how I would get access to this, because I think it would come on, like, during daytime talk shows, like, between Maury Povich and Jerry Springer. There would be commercials for, like, Miss Cleo to do your free tarot readings online.
Oh, my God.
And
I loved Maury. I used to watch that all the time.
He's getting canceled. This is going to be his last year of paternity tests.
Oh, bummer. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's sad.
I guess he's been on air for 30 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it is crazy. Anyway, when I was young, I would be obsessed with calling these numbers, and my mom got real pissed one day when she came home and she had the phone bill in her hand. It was like a $650 home landline telephone bill, because it was like a dollar a minute to talk to these people.
Oh, just my to tell God. You like
bullshit. And I would call them every day and just ask questions.
Wow, that's a good one.
Yeah. I've always been interested in knowing my future, I guess. I don't know, either that or just fucking bored. But two, there's also other stuff like tarot cards and crystals and all that, that I don't know how much stock I hold in it, but I got a tarot card reading once that pretty much I've reasoned that that's how I met my husband, or how I knew, like, it predicted that I was going to meet him, sort of thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was really weird, and he doesn't believe this story, but he doesn't really, believe in any of that kind of stuff. But I was...
Huh. I'm not surprised he doesn't.
Right? I was single, and a friend of mine and I went to a psychic just to, like, talk to them about future and everything. And she said, in the next year, you're going to meet a dark-haired man that has similar interests to you, that has children, and that's going to be who you marry. So she said he already has children, but that's going to happen. I was like, oh, okay, that's not going to happen.
Huh.
It's like in my mind, because I think I was either 22 or 23 when I met Brian, and I was like, I'm not going to date someone with a kid or whatever, and here we are.
Just kidding.
Yeah. His charms won me over. So.
That's interesting. That's cool.
Yeah. So there's some things that I'm like, okay, she could have just pulled that out of anywhere, but I was so young at that point. Like, how can you predict that someone's going to meet someone that has children?
Yeah. I like things that seem to have a meaning, like serendipity, is that the word for it?
Yeah.
Like when things happen for a reason, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Yeah, I like that stuff too.
Yeah. I think that stuff's really cool. I put more credit into that than like anything else, that like things happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. And like last night when my friend sent me the food because I wanted French fries, she sent me fries and ice cream, and I found a little fortune from like a fortune cookie in my door frame on the bottom of the door.
What? Like to outside?
Yeah. And I was like, what? Yes. Yeah. My front door. It said, a new voyage will fill your life with untold memories.
Huh. That's crazy.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. That is crazy. Because so, this like, is like
that's something...
a new person you've met, right?
Yeah, just, like, a new friend of mine, and it's just, I don't know, it's just interesting that, like, that's, like, that, I put more credit on something like that, like.
I love that.
Because when I picked it up, and before I read it, I was like, what if You know, just the point in my life that I'm at right now is, like, something like that means a lot. You know, with that meaning, like, a new voyage, new things. So right. When I picked it up, I was like, what if it says something like that? And I read it, and I was like, okay. I was like, that's weird, yeah. But...
Wow, that is really cool. You should save it.
Yeah.
I did.
Happens. It's in my little mirror. I saved it.
Well.
But anyway.
I'm going to try and get into it then.
Sorry.
It's fine. I don't know. So astrology has been around for a really long time. It came about in 3000 BCE. So I didn't look it up, but I think that's pretty damn far away in there.
Yeah, that sounds far away.
It started in Mesopotamia and the Sumerians there. It's when that's pretty much the first recorded time of noticing that the stars and the sun are moving in the sky during the day and at night, which must have been crazy if you don't know what's going on. You know, Keith, like if you don't know what's happening, you're just looking up at the sky and everything's moving hour to hour. Like that probably had to be pretty crazy back in the day.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right. Okay, Brooke, do you ever notice that the sun moves during the day? And
it's not there at night anymore. Where did it go?
And then you call me a witch and that's the end of me.
Right, then set you on fire.
Right. They were the first ones to start recording the patterns. So they start writing down like the prominent constellations in the sky. And the Babylonians around that same time created the first wheel. So there's a wheel in the sky above you. And it's kind of divided into 12 quadrants. And that's, you know, where the different constellations are that the signs come from. So what I just said, the wheel corresponds to the 12 months of the year at 30 days each. So each sign is in the 30 degree of celestial longitude, created the first coordinate system of the constellations. So way back in the day, astrology and astronomy were kind of in the same area, whereas right now the two don't talk about each other, but it kind of started all the astronomers way back when. The Greeks are the one that came up with the term zodiac. They called it the Zodiacos Kyklos, a.k.a. animal circle.
Okay.
During the second century of CE, so after BCE, I believe, the first known astrologer, Ptolemy, was so fixated with forecasting horoscopes, he started making world maps so he could chart the relationship between the person's birthplace and the stars. So this one guy back in thousands of years ago is charting the whole world as he knows it just so he can try and locate where the stars are there.
Huh.
So I thought that was pretty interesting, like, 'cause thinking back to there, it's not like you have cars or planes or really anything, even probably boats. It's like, how are you doing all this?
I don't know how anybody did anything before now, so
before like the 1920s.
Seriously.
So with that, he really had a big hand in developing maps as we know them today, and he had coined the term geography, so kind of the father of that. So from a NASA article I have, we don't really know who first came up with the idea for looking at things in nature in divining influences on humans. There's some indication that cave art chose this idea that animals and things can be imbued with some kind of spirit form that has an influence on you. And if you appease that spirit form, then you'll have a successful hunt. And that was taken over by the idea of, I don't know if it's divination or divination, it's probably divination, where you can actually look at things in nature, study them carefully, like reading things from leaves and things like that. It pretty much what it came down to is once people started investing more in, I lost my thought, I'm sorry. What people started trusting more in, like, the Bible and religions and things like that. I think astrology was one of the first kind of things that people believed in, because they could actually see stars and think of something like that in that end. In ancient China, a lot of the noblemen would look at eclipses or sunspots as kind of showing if there was going to be a good or bad time for the emperor, though it's thought that those signs had less application to the lives of individuals. So that same guy, Ptolemy R. Odenwald from NASA, points out that in societies where people with the lower class have less control over their lives, things like that seem pointless because they don't really, they don't have a future anyway. Which is kind of depressing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's sad.
Around the middle of the second millennium, people appeared to, they started to have a lot of practices to kind of try and predict things. They looked at spots on the liver, and after hunting, they would look at the entrails of animals to show how successful the hunt was going to be in the future. And then that's where people started keeping track of where gods, they used the planets and stars as a way to keep track of where gods were in the sky. There's something, the Venus tablet of Amsaduka. This, I picked so many hard things to pronounce. The Venus tablet of Amsaduka. The tablet's dated to the first millennium and tracks the motion of Venus. I still can't get over, like, how you would do that. Like, how do you see Venus?
Yeah, I'm not the person to ask. I have no idea.
How do you see it, Brooke? Oh, man. And it's pretty, it's a lot like that. Just a lot of people use that as something to look to before religion. And as it's kind of moved out and science has taken over, then it's really looked at as just like silliness. Even though I don't really see it like that. From the NASA article, Odenwald described how the logic led to the creation of familiar zodiac signs today. He says, imagine a straight line, draw from Earth through the sun and out into space, way beyond our solar system where the stars are. Then picture the Earth following its orbit around the sun. This imaginary line would rotate, pointing to different stars throughout one complete trip around the sun or 1 year. All the stars that lie close to imaginary flat disk, swept out by this imaginary line, are said to be in the zodiac. The constellations in the zodiac are simply constellations that this imaginary straight line points to. So simple enough. The ancient Greece is when they came, where they came up with the 12 signs. So starting with Aries, which you are.
Yeah.
Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, which is me. It's actually, this says Leo is the most important sign of the zodiac because of me.
Why is that?
And there's Virgo, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, Pisces. These Western or tropical zodiac signs were named after constellations and matched with the dates based on the apparent relationship between the placement of the sky and sun. Now, because of how the world turns and it's on kind of a different track every year or so, or every day, a lot of people are basing their zodiac signs now on zodiac that would have been in the past, but now they're not the same. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Yeah, so a lot of people have really said that there should be a 13th constellation now. There is a name for it, is it's Ophiuchus.
I don't know. I can't even picture it, so.
This is just goes on to say the Earth's moved on its axis, a process known as precession. So now the dates they're used to mark the signs really don't correspond to the background constellations given to their name. It's actually, since the beginning of it, it's shifted at least one side size, one why can't I talk right now? It's gone one sign to the west. So I would now be a Cancer. You would now be a Pisces.
Interesting. Yeah. Huh.
By, like,
I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense. It's not gonna, it is gonna, like, move to a point.
Yeah. Yep. So, I'll get to the actual zodiac signs. So, it's crazy how everything's divided. So, all the signs, you're either a fixed or a variant sign. And then you're one of the four elements. And then in addition to planets that you could be born under, there's different houses too. So, starting with the fire signs, notoriously some of the boldest signs consisting of Leo, Sagittarius, and Aries. As a whole, fire signs are confident, strong-headed, extroverted, and ambitious. Fire signs' strong sense of self draws people to them and makes them powerful and popular leaders. I agree. Hmm. At their worst, fire signs can come off as bossy or arrogant. I think I can definitely be bossy, but so can everyone. So then,
that's very true. So can everyone.
Opposite the fire signs, there's the water signs. Cancer, Pisces, and Scorpio. They all show different levels of emotional vulnerability and sensitivity. They're usually sympathetic and kind souls who are intuitive and in tune with themselves and others. Negative qualities of water signs can be manipulation and being overly sensitive.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I think one reason, too, that I put a lot into astrology is I feel like, I don't know if you get this, too, if you feel like the people that you're really attracted to in life, whether it be partners or friends or anything like that, I've always seemed to find that they have kind of the same birthdays, like around the same area. Have you ever noticed that or made that connection about anybody or not really?
I have. I feel like I know a lot of people that are Aries just by chance, which is interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've definitely figured out that I'm attracted to Cancers, even though I think a lot of people rag on them for being the most sensitive out of any of the signs. But I kind of like it because I can be cold hearted sometimes. So it's nice to have
me too. That extra That's emotion. So weird.
Then we have our air signs, Gemini, Aquarius, and Libra. It says the three signs that make up arguably the most stylish element. Air signs strive to be unique in all aspects of their life and the finer things. Their weakness can fall into interpersonal connections, struggling to build deep bonds. I feel like the signs that I know the least people out of would fall into the air signs. I don't know any Aquarius. And not a lot of Libras. I know a couple.
I can never remember who's who. Like, I always get it screwed up, but I don't think I really know too many either. I guess I'd have to hear the months.
Yeah.
Like, the dates.
Then last one, Capricorn, Virgo, Taurus are the earth signs. Just like the name, they're the most grounded of the signs. Earth signs are hardworking and independently strong as they handle struggles life throws at them. Earth signs can struggle with perfectionism and emotional availability, especially at early interactions. So, sounds like a little closed off. It says, when you consider these signs, it's also notable to take into account that there are three modalities of the signs. Cardinal, fixed, immutable, which I'll claim four signs each. The cardinal signs are Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, which are action-oriented and direct signs. The fixed signs are Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius, and Taurus, who are stubborn and more committed. And then the mutable signs are Sagittarius, Pisces, Gemini, and Virgo, which are some of the most adaptable and changeable signs. So what was your cardinal sign? Action-oriented and direct. I can see that too.
Sometimes. I feel like I'm completely one thing or the other. Like, I'm either very direct and blunt or completely avoid and ignore.
You're hot and you're cold. You're yes and then you're no.
Yeah.
Just like Katy Perry. As
Katy Perry once said.
When you do something like a birth chart where you put all your, you know, all your information into a generator and it kind of shows all the things that you were born under. So usually on your zodiac chart, the most common things that people look at are your sun sign, which is the sign everyone knows that they are, and then your moon sign, which is whatever your moon sign is, kind of what you think of yourself as, like the traits and emotions that you kind of think of yourself is usually your moon sign. And then your rising sign is what people see you as, kind of what traits people would more assign to you as a person, because we see ourselves a lot differently than everyone else, you know.
That's really cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So diving a little deeper, your Mercury placement impacts your communication style and your intellectual side. Your Venus and Mars placements kind of go together, both reflecting love and relationships, and Mars reflecting on sex and aggression. The Saturn placement is indicative of responsibility and ambition. Then the other four planets, Jupiter, Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto. Jupiter is the placement of growth and healing. Neptune is responsible for dreams and inspiration, while Uranus shows innovation. And then Pluto symbolizes the underworld of creation and destruction. And then I won't get into it a whole lot because it's pretty long, but there's also 10 different, on top of that, there's 10 different houses that you can be born in, or that all your signs can be born in. So if you're reading a chart, it might say that your Mercury is in Taurus in your fifth house. So that all means different things. And that would be like your fifth house represents romance. So it would kind of be how those all would coordinate with each other. It's really complicated.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It is very complicated. And I feel like there's so much to it, but yep. It does make sense.
And I'm trying to see. I don't know if you want to mention it, but your birthday is coming up, right?
Yeah, it's in like, it's in 2 weeks actually from today.
Recording. So, for your birthday, I made a birth chart for you.
Yay!
So you can analyze yourself. I'm just pulling it up now.
Right, so I can overthink.
Yeah. Ooh, I'm excited. It actually is pretty, it's pretty interesting. So when I was reading it, I was like, huh, that is so weird. Because mine, when I look at it, it's all different signs. You have a lot of signs, like the same sign over and over. So you are an Aries, which you know. And then your rising sign is Aries. So the rising is how other people see you. And then your moon is in Capricorn, which is, you know, how you see yourself. Which I can see, because on top of the Aries, the Capricorns are very organized and hardworking. Like, even, like, all the work, I keep saying, like, you're doing all this stuff, but all the work that you've been doing with everything with the podcast, there is very Capricornish.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely a lot like that. I definitely like to get things done and have it be organized in a very specific way. Mm-hmm. So I can definitely see that.
And it's crazy. You had three signs in Aries, which is and then three signs in Capricorn, or three planets in Capricorn. So it's a lot of Aries and Capricorn in your chart.
Maybe that's why I'm so one way or another, because it's it's literally one option or the other.
Oh, look at that.
There's no give at all, apparently.
So I'll read the couple that aren't in Aries or Capricorn. So Uranus is in Aquarius. That sounds funny. So your Uranus stays in each sign for 7 years, meaning it rules more of a generation than a person. So you're I keep going to say you're Uranus. So that planet is kind of the same for your whole generation. So Gen X, Gen Y, like mine is the same for all millennials, I guess. Or not all, because I think millennial goes over 20 years, so probably not for all of them. It rules innovation, rebellion, and progress. It's in Aquarius, meaning that other generations are shocked by your generation's unconventionality, intellect. That can't be a word. intellectual. Intellectuality, yes. And detachedness. It's in your 10th house, meaning that for you, this manifests in rebelling against dated expectations about goals, success, and responsibility. That sounds accurate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Such a rebel.
Oh, yeah.
Your Pluto stays in each sign for up to 30 years, meaning it rules a generation. It rules power, intensity, obsession, and control. Your Pluto's in Sagittarius, meaning that your generation's psyche is comparatively positive, free-spirited, curious, optimistic, forward-looking, independent, and confident. It's in your 8th house, meaning you personally are transforming outdated taboos around darkness, sex, and transformation.
Huh.
Well, look at that.
I didn't even know there was a meaning for each planet, or like you could have a sign for each planet. Yeah. I had no idea about that.
It's pretty in-depth.
Yeah. No, I feel like you could literally dive into this for forever.
Forever. Really. So I can send that to you, too, if you wanted to look at it.
Yeah, that would be really cool to see it. Yeah. I would like that.
I'm the complete opposite. I'm Leo Sun, Cancer Moon, Pisces Rising. So all different. Two water signs and a fire sign.
And we get along so well.
What?
I said, and we get along so well.
I know. It's the Aries and Leo, I think.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how much a Capricorn would get along with a Pisces. But who knows?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Like I said, it was a short one, so that's pretty much what I have for this week.
That was cool. No, I like that. I definitely learned some stuff that I didn't know about.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no, I definitely, again, I'm not super into astrology, so a lot of that I didn't really know.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about...
It's definitely cool.
What do you think about energy from stones? Like gems and things like that.
I don't know. I guess I don't super have an opinion on it. I mean, I think it's neat. I don't know. Any idea is cool and I respect it, but I don't know. What about you?
I'm into it, but now I think I have enough little stones and gems around the house that I don't think it makes much of a difference. I'm starting to swing the other way. But yeah, it's just kind of like, oh, I don't feel any better now they have rose quartz shoved up my ass, so.
It's not where you're supposed to put it, Adria.
Maybe that's the issue. I'm just not doing it right.
Oh my god.
Well, if you're going to talk, I'm going to grab my ice cream really quick.
Okay.
I didn't want it to melt while I was talking, so I put it in the freezer. I am ready to hear what you've got today.
Alrighty. What I have for this week is a pretty well-known story, especially for people that live in New Hampshire, and I am doing the disappearance of Maura Murray.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a...
And you've...
Head scratcher.
Yeah, definitely. And it's not far from here, so I definitely wanted to cover it because I think it's interesting when they talk about places and towns that are super close and we've been to and
right.
Stuff like that.
Where in New Hampshire was it?
So she disappeared in Haverhill, New Hampshire.
Oh, yes. That's right.
So she was born May 4th, 1982 in Brockton, Massachusetts. And I tried to look up all the towns that I mention and kind of like be able to describe kind of where they are. So Brockton is a town a little bit south of Boston, Massachusetts, which a lot more people know where that is. Her parents are Fred and Laura Murray. She was the youngest daughter of her siblings. She grew up in Hanson, Mass., which is a small suburb slightly southeast to Brockton. She had an older brother, Fred, two older sisters, Kathleen and Julie, and one younger brother named Kurt.
Okay.
She was an all-around really good student. She got good grades and was involved in a ton of sports, which she excelled at as well. Everybody described her as being a really sweet girl, but she never got too close and personal with anybody. She ended up joining the United States Military Academy at West Point, which is in West Point, New York.
Yeah.
She thrived there as well, academically and in the military program. But during her second year there, she decided that the military wasn't for her, and she ended up transferring to the University of Massachusetts in Amherst, Mass., which is located in central Massachusetts. And there she pursued a nursing career.
Oh, wow.
So
she's doing
well. Yeah, she could do absolutely everything and seem to do great at absolutely everything. So Saturday, February 7th, which is 2 days before she disappeared, Maura's father drove up to UMass Amherst to see her. They were planning on searching for a car for her, since the car she currently was using was pretty much falling apart. And according to her father's, I did some research online and found a couple websites that I got information from, but I watched the Disappeared episode on her, and I got a ton of information from that, and that was really cool because it was told by, like, her friends and family, so it was really cool and interesting to hear them talk about it and tell the story directly.
Yeah, that's cool.
So according to her father, they did find one and were planning on picking it up the following weekend, which never happened since Maura disappeared only 2 days after seeing her father. He said that he wished he had bought the car that weekend when he was with her, probably thinking that maybe this crash wouldn't have happened if she was driving a better car, which sucks to have that on your conscience.
Poor guy.
I know. So on this weekend, everybody, including Maura's dad and friends, they all said that everything seemed pretty normal with her. So the same night that they went looking for a car for Maura, her dad let her borrow his new car that night, and Maura ended up crashing it into a guardrail in Hadley, Mass., which is a really close town, or is really close to UMass Amherst.
Okay.
The damages totaled to about $10,000.
Holy shit.
A lot of damage. I know.
Especially back then.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know. It must have been a pretty bad accident, but... her dad did say that she seemed really disappointed and upset, and, like, she had let her father down because she crashed his new car, which is reasonable. So early Sunday morning, February 8th, Maura called her boyfriend... Oh, my God. I'm doing the same thing you are. She called her boyfriend, Billy Rausch, at 4:49 a.m., and she seemed upset. He was stationed in Oklahoma at the time, so he was a ways away. They had a long-distance relationship, for the most part. He did end up telling his mom about this phone call. So it was interesting, in the Disappeared episode, it was mostly Maura's dad and Billy, so Maura's boyfriend's mom, that were talking, which was interesting. And then, like, a couple of her friends, but I thought it was interesting that Billy's mom was a significant part in it. That they all seemed pretty close, so I guess that would make sense, but...
Yeah.
So Maura and Billy had been together since 2001, and Billy's mom mentioned that there was talk about the two of them getting married. And like I already said, Maura seemed pretty close to Billy's family. Like, there didn't seem to be anything wrong with them, or, you know, they seemed happy and were talking and planning about the future. Okay, so that same day, that Sunday, the 8th, Maura's dad drove her back to her dorm and mentioned that she still seemed really down about what happened with his car, but he assured her that it was fine and the insurance would cover any of the damages, so she didn't really have to worry. Dropping her off at the dorm that day was the last time that he saw her. He did, however, have a phone call with her Sunday night around 11:26 p.m. They discussed how the insurance was taken care of, but Maura would need to fill out a couple of, police reports or something like that. The call ended with Maura's dad saying to call him the next day, letting him know the situation with the paperwork. And the call never happened because the following day was the day she disappeared. It was reported before she disappeared that she had reached out to a condominium in Bartlett, New Hampshire, which is located in like mid-New Hampshire on the East Coast, about 60 miles or 96 kilometers and an hour and a half drive from Haverhill, New Hampshire, where she was last seen at the site of her crash.
Okay.
So she was looking at a condominium in Bartlett that was an hour and a half drive away from where she crashed her car. So she wasn't really near it, and that didn't seem to be the direction she was heading.
Huh. Yeah, that's a really far.
Yeah, she was more like, it looked like she was heading to Vermont. So she called that condominium at 12:55 p.m. It was later found out by Maura's dad and Billy's mom, looking back at her phone records, that Maura, her dad, and Billy had stayed at that specific condominium before. So she had been there before.
Oh, okay.
So I guess that's why it was believed she was calling that specific place, because she was familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
It also appeared that she was looking at other properties in the White Mountains of New Hampshire as well. She did spend a lot of time in Bartlett, New Hampshire. Like I said, her family had stayed there before. Her dad was familiar with it too. He knew exactly where that was. She also was searching for various routes from Amherst, Massachusetts to New Hampshire and onto Burlington, Vermont. So That's where Burlington is mentioned. And that's more, when you look at her route, that's more likely where she was headed.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask, if she was still going to school in Amherst at that time.
Yes.
But she's looking for condos way up in New Hampshire.
Yeah. So I don't know. Actually, my next sentence is that her classes had just started, so her friends claimed it was weird she'd be searching for places to live farther north.
That's really weird.
Yeah. So according to Bill's mother, Sharon, Maura had also emailed Bill the afternoon around 1 p.m. of the day she disappeared, saying she needed to speak with him and that she loved him. She apologized for not returning his messages from the day before and that she really hadn't felt like talking to anybody. So it did seem like she was in a little bit of a weird headspace, but I feel like that happens to anybody. Everybody has off days here and there. Like, it didn't seem concerning enough to anybody, you know?
Yeah.
So after that, around 2 p.m., she made a phone call to a reservation line to hotels in Stowe, Vermont. In the Stowe, Vermont area.
Hmm.
And Stowe is about an hour and a half drive, 62 miles or 99 kilometers northwest of Haverhill, New Hampshire.
Wow.
So again, that's headed up. She seemed to be headed towards that direction. So when she called that line, she could listen to listings, but she wasn't able to and didn't actually make a reservation. And 13 minutes after that, she called her boyfriend, but he didn't answer. She left a voicemail saying that she would call him later. The same day, Maura finished up her schoolwork on her nursing program and had emailed her professors saying that there had been a death in the family and that she would be leaving for the week. There was no death reported in her family. So nobody knows what that's about. I mean, to me, that just... it seems like an excuse to take off and just kind of disappear for
without
a little bit.
Because if she's supposed to be in class, then that would probably be a little while before anyone noticed she was gone, I'm guessing. Because people would just figure she was at school.
Yeah, right. And she didn't tell anybody else that. So her family didn't know she was going anywhere or didn't know that she had made that up. Yeah, so, and again, the next line I have is that this wasn't like her at all, and she didn't say that to anyone besides her professors. So, at around 3:15, it was reported that Maura stopped at an off-campus ATM and withdrew $280, which is pretty much all the money she had in her account. I mean, I did note it here, too, that, so her car, which was falling apart, was a 1996 Saturn.
Oh, that was my
first car. So that's the car she was... was it? The same year?
I'm pretty sure it was the 96 or 97 Saturn SL1.
That's really funny.
And it was... if her car is the same as mine, it was definitely a piece of shit. That car was
Because, I mean, terrible. Even 2004, that's only an 8-year-old car. It's not that old, but if it's already falling apart, that's not a great sign.
I definitely thought that this took place a lot longer ago. I didn't realize it was only in 2001 or 2004.
Yep, 2004 is when it happened.
That's why when you said $10,000 earlier, I was like, wow, that must have been a lot of money back then.
Yeah, I mean, still for...
I guess that is like 20 years ago.
Right, exactly. Right. It actually is a lot longer than you think. Yeah, I know. Gross. Yeah, so after she stopped at the ATM and took out almost all the money in her bank account, she made a stop at a liquor store and she purchased about $40 worth of alcohol, which included Kahlua, Bailey's, vodka, and a box of red wine.
Oh.
This was, I know.
Nice mixture.
This was known, right. This was known because the receipt was later found in Mora's wrecked car. And the cameras at the ATM showed that Mora appeared to be alone, so no one was really sure why she bought so much alcohol. Because that's a lot of alcohol for one person.
Right.
Or would suggest that she was going to be meeting up with somebody, which is what I would think. That's what that would mean to me.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So, according to authorities, she left the Amherst, Mass. area around 4:30 p.m. and headed north towards New Hampshire. She checked her voicemail around that time as well, and that was the last call her phone made. So that's the last on the, you know, on the call report, her own voicemail was the last call that was made on that phone.
Hmm. And what time was that?
So 4:30 p.m.
Okay.
So Amherst, Massachusetts to Haverhill, New Hampshire is about 135 miles or 217 kilometers in a little over a 2-hour drive north.
Yeah.
That's so Haverhill is where her car veered off an extremely dark road into a snowbank. And this was Mora's second car accident in 3 days, which I think is interesting when you say it like that, because it was, that's how they phrased it in the show. And you're like, that's
yeah,
a lot. In 3 days, two car crashes.
Right. Well, it's all that Kahlua and red wine. Blech.
Seriously. So apparently she had done something like this before, which is interesting. I guess she took off to on a train to Boston once for the day and didn't really tell people where she was going or what she was up to, but she returned that night.
To Amherst?
Which I don't recall ever hearing that. Huh?
To Amherst, she...
No, she went to Boston. She took a train to Boston once for the day.
From where?
From Amherst, sorry.
Okay. Sorry. That's probably more me than you. I'm just trying to follow her movements in my head.
I know. It's hard. Believe me, it's very interesting. So, yeah. So she had just come home that night when she had done that, and obviously nothing came of it, but it's just interesting that she had been known to just take off and go somewhere and not really tell anybody what she was doing. So... a resident of the area, Faith Westman, called the police at 7:27 p.m. when she saw Mara's car accident outside. She claimed that the car was stuck in a ditch. But not long after that, a bus driver named Butch Atwood was driving by and saw Mora, and he stopped and spoke with her. He offered her some help and offered to call authorities, but Mora declined and claimed she had already called AAA.
Mm-hmm.
Butch knew that there wasn't good cell reception in the area, so when he arrived home, he lived about 100 yards away from the scene, he called the police right away. He was pretty sure Mora wouldn't have been able to make that call, which I think that's interesting as well.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, AAA never showed up, so I would assume that's false. She never called AAA, even if she could.
And he didn't, right? That means...
No, he didn't call AAA. He just called the police. But then she had to have called somebody,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, yeah, but then but it's she interesting had no phone records.
Right, which is just mind-blowing. I don't know. So it's, I don't know.
Before you keep going, after doing all this research, do you have a feeling as to what happened? Like, do you lean a certain way?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah. No, and I'll definitely ask you, what you think after all of it, too. But it was definitely really cool to, like, deep dive into a story like this and, like, find a bunch of facts that I didn't necessarily know. And when you, you know, you listen to it and then you write it all down, it's definitely, like, sticks in your head. And
yeah, I bet.
Okay. Butch was pretty sure that Mora wouldn't have been able to make that call to AAA, so he called... the police himself around 7:35 p.m. When the police were on the phone with Butch, they asked him if Maura appeared to be injured. He said no, she just seemed shaken up, but there was no blood or anything. However, the airbags had gone off, and the windshield was broken as well.
Wow.
In front of where the driver would have been sitting, which I had never heard that either.
Like, she I didn't realize it was such a bad accident.
I don't know. I didn't see anything about why it was broken, but
yeah,
that was in the disappeared episode as well, so.
Well, that, yeah, I don't think I realized it was that big of a crash, too. So I'm trying to picture, I think I watched Dateline or something on it, and it almost just looked like she fishtailed in the snow. It was on the side of a road. I realized it was like a big crash.
Yeah, that's what I had always pictured that as well, but it seemed to be, you know, if the airbags went off, the windshield was smashed, and the car wasn't drivable, like, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
So the first officer arrived on the scene. The road she crashed on was Wild Amanusic Road. It's spelled crazy, but that sounds New Hampshire pronunciation.
Yeah, pronunciation.
At 7:46, he showed up about 10 minutes after Butch's call to the police was made. And Maura was nowhere to be found. So, what, 15, 20 minutes from when the first call was made and, you know, probably like 15 minutes since Butch had seen her, she was gone by then.
That's
a very short amount of time.
That is crazy.
There were no signs of a struggle. It seemed that Maura had left on her own will. The officer said that the car had been locked and it was not drivable. He did say that there was a box of red wine behind the driver's seat, stains on the ceiling and door, and a Coke bottle that had some type of red liquid inside of it that appeared to be alcohol. So that, to me, would suggest she was drinking alcohol from the Coke bottle while she was driving.
Right.
That's what that sounds like to me. There was also a pink substance poured into the snow near the car, but, you know, according to Butch, she didn't appear intoxicated. There was a rag stuffed inside of Maura's tailpipe. Later on, it was determined that Maura's dad had advised her to do that in order to avoid getting a ticket for excessive smoke coming out of her tailpipe.
Oh.
I know. I'm like, oh, geez. So the officer spoke to Butch, the bus driver, and asked him to help in maybe finding out where Maura went. Butch suggested that the officer drive west of the accident and search the French Pond area, including the roads around it. A state trooper, EMS, and fire all responded to this scene. The state trooper searched the surrounding roads to the west as well. It didn't seem that anyone had really searched east of the accident scene too much. EMS, when they got there, they left pretty quickly, considering Maura was not there, so there's no one for them to treat. The firefighters searched the scene briefly before returning back to their fire station, but nothing was found in this first search.
Okay.
So now we are at Wednesday, February 11th, so 2 days after Maura disappeared. So that is when Maura's dad was finally able to head up to Haverhill, New Hampshire and help search. Shortly after him, other family members showed up, including Billy and his family. Around 7 a.m., when Billy was going through security at the airport in Oklahoma, a voicemail was left on his phone, and it was seemingly from Maura.
2 days later?
Yes, exactly. So this Wednesday.
Okay.
He believes it was Maura. It was not from her phone, however. It was from a different, like, prepaid phone. So all that was on the voicemail was a woman breathing, maybe some soft whispers, shivering and sniffling. And like I said, Billy believed it was her. When he tried to call the number back, it was listed as a prepaid cell phone, which Maura had been known to use. However, Billy's mom says she thinks it's very unlikely that Maura made that unusual phone call. But also, what are the odds of that?
Right.
I've never had somebody leave a voicemail on my phone of that. Never mind 2 days after somebody goes missing.
Right.
So, like, I don't know.
I have had voicemails like that, but I usually know who it is.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, like, I don't know, if you, like, butt dial somebody or, like, I can see that, but there's just so specific and sounds like somebody upset, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I would think the same thing he did.
Yeah, I would too. Okay, so the police began their search and also brought in dogs to maybe help pick up a scent. So one of the dogs did follow a scent down the road about 100 feet and then lost it. So that leads to the suspicion that Mora may have gotten into a vehicle, mm-hmm. which I think that makes sense as well. I feel like I've heard that before. When it's just suddenly gone, it usually means they got into a car.
Right.
They did a pretty intense search of the woods and came up with nothing.
Hmm.
So her family thinks that somebody picked her up and that they had bad intentions. They stated there's no way she wouldn't have reached out if she was able to.
Right.
So all of her belongings that were in the car were released to Billy. She seemed prepped for her trip. She packed various things like toiletries, makeup, workout attire, school books, and several days worth of clothes. It seemed like she had every intent to continue her schoolwork, her workout routine, etc. It was said that her dorm room was packed up and appeared like she was moving out, which that's interesting too.
Yeah, that is. I wonder what was going on.
Yeah. So one of the last emails she sent to her friends was talking about seeing Dane Cook perform on February 12th, which was 3 days after her disappearance. So even if she was planning on going somewhere, it wasn't for long, and she planned to be back
right
in a couple days, which that was a fact I had never heard before either, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard that either.
So there was a book called Not Without Peril found in Mora's car, which is about hikers that go into the mountains in New Hampshire and either never return or return hurt. Mora's dad said that that book was in her car because they had hiked Mount Washington, which is the highest peak in, So Mora's dad said that that book was in her car because they had hiked Mount Washington, and that Mount Washington is the highest peak in the northeastern United States, and the book had a lot of information on the trails for that mountain.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. He said that book was an uplifting one, more than upsetting, because, again, the book focused on a lot of hikers that never came back. Of course, others speculate about her reading this book, about people going to the woods and never come back. Others just say it was her favorite book, which that's interesting. I didn't hear that either, I don't think.
No.
So during the search, Mora's sister found a pair of woman's underwear nearby. It was noted that it was more on top of the ice, rather buried in the snow. They turned it into police and never had any follow-up about it. However, a police officer did say that they did forensic testing on it, and it was not Mora's.
Okay.
So, because they kind of weren't getting anywhere with it, Mora's dad ended up trying to go back to square one and do some research himself. Him and Sharon is Billy's mom. They went back through Mora's phone records. He also tried to get the records of the Mora Murray case from the police, but he had no luck and most likely never would. There definitely were, like, some different people that, of course, you know, reported seeing Mora. So it was reported that she was spotted by a woman who said she seemed to be with an older man, maybe in his 60s. Her arms were, Jesus Christ, I'm talking so fast. an older man, maybe in his 60s. Her arms were folded in front of her, and she seemed to be mouthing the words, "Help me."
Hmm.
Apparently, before this woman realized what was going on, the two had left. There were other alleged sightings of Mora too, but those were all proven to not be her. So the bus driver's interaction in... Oh my god. The bus driver's inter... Oh, Jesus Christ. The bus driver's short interaction with Mora is the last known sighting of her. Since then, there has been no trace of her and no activity on her cell phone or bank accounts. Her family stated that she was potentially suicidal and that they did not think foul play was involved. One of the craziest things about this case is how many theories there are out there and about what happened to her.
Yeah.
Fred, her father, believes she was in the wrong place at the wrong time and someone grabbed her. He still hasn't given up searching for her. It's now been over 18 years that Mora has been missing with pretty much nothing to go off of. She was last seen wearing jeans in a dark-colored coat. She's a white female with brown shoulder-length hair and blue eyes. She's 5 feet 7 inches tall and weighs about 120 pounds. So there really hasn't, to this day, there hasn't been much found. There was, which I heard this when it happened, there were some bone fragments discovered in 2021 at the bottom of Loon Mountain.
Yeah.
Which is about 30 miles or 48 kilometers east of Haverhill, New Hampshire. But it was determined that those did not belong to Mora.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really where this leaves us. I did have, just to end it, If you have any information regarding Maura's disappearance, you can contact her family right through her website at mauramurraymissing.org, or you can contact your local FBI office. But that is the story I have for you. Wow. That is this disappearance of Maura Murray.
I have one question. I have a couple questions, but the one that's at my mind now is, were there any, did they find any sort of tire tracks or anything near where her car had crashed?
Not that I saw. And I feel like, I don't know if it was actively snowing or not, but I believe that either way, just with the weather, it wasn't, they weren't able to see anything like that. They weren't able to see, you know, footprints going into the woods or, you know, a car pulling off to the road, stopping and then driving away.
That was my...
Because I feel like that's something...
That was a question I had too, is if it was snowing
or
not. Because I think... I kind of remember, I think it was snowing, and that's why she crashed, maybe? But that's what the reasoning?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I feel like that would make sense, and that would make sense that, like, anything would get covered up really easy.
Yeah. That's the thing that sucks about it, is the time that it happened, like, anything is either going to be covered up in the snow, or it's just going to, I don't know, disappear once the snow melts, or vice versa, because any footprints there aren't going to be there for that long, or tracks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's definitely, it sucks that if there was anything, that it's just, it's pretty much just gone. But yeah, so my theory would be kind of the same as her father's, that I don't know if I think, something makes me want to say, even if it was somebody with bad intentions, something makes me want to say it was somebody she knew or somebody she was planning on meeting up with. Because why would she be headed up that way? She had to, but, and then again, there's no phone records of her talking to anybody else unless, I mean, maybe she had a different prepaid phone and that's the one that called Billy when he was on the way to the airport.
Yeah.
And maybe she was making calls from that one to some other person.
While the secrecy, though, you know? Or did you say...
Well, exactly.
So the boyfriend doesn't find out or something? No, because he lives across the country. So that wouldn't be... It's not like she would have to hide her phone records or...
Well, I guess I don't super know how prepaid phones work, but, like, wouldn't it be like, oh, if you had more than one and kind of just be like, oh, you know, like, I don't know. Like, if she just happened to have a second one around and was, like, using it. Oh, because she was... So I did hear this. She was on Billy's family's phone plan.
Okay.
So maybe that would be why she would use a different phone to, like...
Maybe.
Talk to somebody else. And obviously this is all speculation and who knows.
Right.
But I don't know. It's just interesting. There's no way she wasn't talking to somebody and going up there.
Yeah. Now, to meet someone. I don't remember, was there a purse or anything in the car or like an overnight bag or anything like that?
So I didn't hear anything mentioned specifically about, like, I feel like they're usually like, oh, and her wallet, keys, phone were found. That's interesting. I didn't hear any of that because that's usually like a first thing that's mentioned.
Right. So I'm wondering if she's that far away from where she lives, there would have had to have been some sort of bag, don't you think, with like an extra pair of clothes or a toothbrush or something like that.
Yeah, so I did say that. She did have like all her workout stuff, her school books.
Okay.
She was packed.
Okay.
To go somewhere.
All right, so it's not like, because I was thinking that's back in the day of like MapQuest where you would print out directions and that's what you would be reading as you're driving to go somewhere. So I doubt at that time she had a GPS on her phone. But I agree with you, maybe. She might have had an extra phone, something else there.
Yeah.
Because it's so quick.
It's funny because I only just... What's quick?
Like the amount of time from when she crashed to when she disappeared.
Right. Right. And like you wouldn't think... I don't know. Even like, hey, she didn't ask that bus driver for a ride. So like why would she get into the car with a stranger?
Well, my opinion on the whole thing is that the bus driver is full of shit and he actually, I think, so there's probably things disputing this and my mind's a little fuzzy on the case because I haven't heard or read anything about it in a while, but I've always been suspicious of his account of how it happened, you know, because if his whole thing,
no, that's,
if his whole thing was that he called the police while she was calling AAA because the service wasn't good or whatever, like, how do we know?
Yeah.
Well, there's no way to know that that actually happened because it doesn't show up in her call records that she called. Like, who knows how far before that she actually crashed, you know? We're going by his and the neighbor's account of it.
Right. But wouldn't you think, why would he go back if he took her? Why would he go back and call the police? Wouldn't he just take her and not say anything?
I don't know. That's the only thing. And I did.
Right. There's.
I didn't know that there was another call made to the boyfriend after. Like, I guess I forgot or either didn't know that there was a voicemail left for him with, like, whimpering in the background, you know? So.
Right.
That makes me think.
Yeah.
I've always thought that it's one of those, the answer was right in front of you. Kind of things, like the two witnesses at the scene, what if they had something to do with it and they were never really interviewed about it, or it's not like their homes were searched or anything that we know of. So
yeah,
if they're right, and I think something...
well, I think that's why Maura's dad was trying so hard to get those records from the police, because that would probably have information like that in it. But he's probably, I mean, it's been 18 years. He's probably never going to get that.
No. Yeah, if he hasn't gotten anything by now, it's like, it would take a whole new administration to give that to him, I'm guessing.
Yeah, right, yeah.
He's got to be
so
old.
I think...
Like, he's probably running out of time.
Yeah, I know, and even one of the last things in that episode, he's pretty much just like, you know, he starts getting emotional. He's like, I'm gonna continue to search for whatever time I have left on this earth. And I'm like, that's sad.
That's really sad. Can you imagine?
Right. No, I can't. But it's like, how could you not search still when you don't have an answer?
Right. I can't picture one of the kids disappearing and me not being able to get any sort of answer about it. And then what are you supposed to do? Do you just go on? Yeah, I guess you just have to go on with life, but it's got to be something that's with you all the time.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what that would do to somebody.
Right. Like, sometimes I even think of, like, people that I went to school with that kind of, like, moved in the middle of the year, and I'll be like, huh, I wonder what that person from fourth grade is up to now.
Right.
It's
right.
Like, I can't think of someone that I'm actually emotionally attached to, just not knowing what happened to them at all.
Yeah, that would be definitely one of the worst things. That not knowing would bother me so much.
I'm always hoping, but with, you know, the advances and everything now, that they'd be able to solve it. It's not like there was any DNA or really anything.
Yeah.
It'd probably just take someone to come forward.
Yeah, right. I know.
I'm looking at her Wikipedia page right now, and that Saturn is the Saturn that I had when I first started driving.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh, she's so cute.
Yeah, she looks, you know, just like a...
like your all-American, you know, your average girl.
Yeah, good at sports. She looks happy in all the pictures you see. Yeah, like,
in the military school and everything. West Point is no joke. That's a serious school.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think either way, I think the chances of her being out there and still alive are like 2% chance. Don't you think? Like, she's probably not around anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, most likely correct. She's probably not around anymore. But at the same time, she wouldn't be the only one that's been kept for years and years.
That is true. Because what, how old?
And if they have...
She's like 2 years older than me, so she's 40 now. So that's pretty... If she was alive, you think she would be able, unless she seriously has been psychologically manipulated to not even care anymore, you know? Like, you would think that she would find a way after all this time.
Yeah, but, I mean, if she's locked up in some basement...
Yeah.
Who knows?
That is true.
Because that makes me think of those three girls in, I think, Columbus, maybe? Yeah. That Ariel Castro, I think was his name?
Yeah. That case is fucked up.
He had them for, what, 10 plus years, if not more? Like, yeah.
And one of the girls had two kids while she was there.
Yeah.
That is nuts.
That's what I mean. Like, it's possible, mm-hmm. And...
Yeah.
I don't know. Hopefully they did search, you know, the guy's house, you would think if he was the last person to see her, you would think that they would look into it.
Right.
But the police have been useless before, so.
Yeah, who knows? And it might even be a case of like, no, we know he's a really good guy, so we didn't search anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
Who knows? It's like, who the hell knows? She's still trapped in a school bus somewhere.
Seriously. Yeah, but have fun stewing on that for the rest of your night.
I am. I just searched her online, so I'm going to read some stuff about it too. Like, I wonder what else they could do. They haven't closed the case, right? Like, it's still an open case?
I believe so. I don't know if, like, I think I've heard that, like, after a certain time, they, like, kind of have to close it.
Yeah.
Like, close it without closing it all the way. I don't know. I definitely could be wrong, but, yeah, because they have literally zero answers, so.
Oh, well, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was fun. I guess enjoy isn't the best word, but, like, I think missing person cases are really interesting, especially when there's no answer, because it's like, how does somebody just disappear?
Right. Yeah, they are really interesting. I used to hate them, but now I get really into it, like, thinking about what could have happened.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like not having a conclusion, but it's interesting to put all the facts together and see what you have. And
with the things that you just researched, sorry, I interrupted you.
No, it's okay.
With the things that you researched, did you see like a common theory? Like if the police had a certain theory that they were more leaning toward, or what seemed to be the article, whatever articles you read, if they leaned a certain way?
I think kind of everybody leans towards that she must have like gotten in the car with somebody and gotten in a car and drove off, which I didn't find anything in the woods. There was no footprints in the woods. So like, and why would she just walk into the woods in the snow? Like,
yeah, right. That's interesting. I guess I didn't think so much of that she was trying to get away, you know, and just leave town. So I guess that could make sense.
Yeah.
Is you would have to know what was left in her. Well, you said her dorm room looked all packed up like she was moving, right?
Yeah, that's what I saw, that it was pretty packed up.
That aspect of it is weird.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
It's going to be crazy if when we're in our 50s, if it comes out that, like, woman passed away in New Hampshire and we think that she was Maura Murray, you know? And it...
That's true. Yeah.
Like, if she just has been living this other life and needed to get away, like, maybe her boyfriend was terrible, you know, to the point where
right.
she just wanted to get it, or her father, like, some secretive thing about him, which I actually, let me take that back, because I'm sure that guy is very distraught. I don't want to insinuate something about an innocent person, but it just makes me think of what else was going on in the relationships in her life.
You never really know somebody.
No, you don't.
So, who knows? It's exactly. It could be, what happened could be something that has never been brought up. Like, who knows?
Hopefully one day we know.
Yeah. No, this is one that I definitely would like to see an answer on.
Yeah. I don't know how familiar our audience is with New Hampshire, but I always want to know. I really want to be able to know what happened to that little girl, Harmony, that you see in the news now.
Yeah, that's a big thing right now. I don't know much about that. I know what she's been missing for a couple years already, and nobody said anything.
Yeah, no one said anything till a couple months ago.
That's like all I know about it, which is terrible. Yeah.
And so the father and the mother are both in custody right now, but neither on previous charges. So the father is in custody on previous charges of assault against the little girl from 2019 or 2020, something like that. And he's just now getting arrested on it. Are you still there? You look frozen. Oh,
I'm sorry.
He's just now getting arrested on that, but he isn't saying anything about where she is, which doesn't look good for her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, clearly he's a piece of shit anyway, right. So.
And I guess the dad's girlfriend was just found dead too.
I saw that today. Yeah.
So the way they say it, I forget the wording that they used, or it made me think that it was an overdose. I don't remember. Oh, it's on the tip of my tongue, the wording for it, but it made me think that it was an overdose. So who knows if she's trying to bury something, or Or if she was trying to
be something. I mean, clearly there's just sketchy shit going on with all of that. But it would be nice to obviously get answers for that poor little girl.
Hopefully she is found. There was another little girl recently found in a home that was missing for 2 years. So hopefully the same with her, that someone's just keeping her in the basement.
Yeah, I think I was getting those cases confused because I think I had just heard about that. The girl that was like, the police were like tearing apart the stairs. Yes. Is that the one you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And at first I got that confused too, because when that first got released on the news, like just hearing it and not seeing the pictures of the girl, I thought it was the little girl Harmony, but it wasn't. It's a different one.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
It's sad that it's like there's so many. It's just sad that that's a thing, that kids go missing and there's no explanation, and that they can go missing for 2 years without anybody reporting it and nobody knows.
Yeah, I know. That's so sad.
Yep. Well, it was a bummer to end the episode off.
I know. But okay, it gives people something to think about, and that's putting it out there and having people think about it is honestly what needs to be done. Yeah. So.
Yep. Very true.
Like, that's another reason I like putting out the missing persons cases, because if there's still no answer, there's no harm in retelling the story and putting it out there, because maybe somebody knows something.
Right. Yeah. Agreed. Well, I guess that's it.
All right. Well, yeah, that was a good lengthy second episode.
Right. I haven't been looking at the time. How much time are we on here? Oh, a little over an hour and a half, right?
Hour 40.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
Not too bad. Yeah, that was a good one. I'm excited for next week. I have my topic, which is going to be a surprise for you, and that'll be kind of a fun one. That'll be more uplifting than this. So.
Good. I can't wait. All right. Well, all right. Thank you for listening. And
we will see you in roughly a next week.
Yeah, hopefully in the next year, we'll have another episode up. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at whathaveyoudonepod.
And our email is whatehaveyoudonepod@gmail.com. We're still looking for people's stories. So definitely, if you have something worth telling, entertaining, literally anything, write it in, because we definitely want to get those up and going too, because that'll be really fun. And that, for the most part, the most short.
So many sharts.
The most part, God, should it be entertaining?
Yes, please send us stuff, because researching things and definitely, is hard.
I know, it is hard. It takes a lot of time.
And I want to know everybody's tea, too. And yeah. Maybe even give some advice.
Yes, for sure. Right. Yeah, and make sure you are, you know, following, liking, subscribing, rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, because that'll help other people find our podcast, which is what we need.
Yes, definitely.
In order to expand our following.
Yeah. Well, I guess if you don't have anything else, this is where we say bye.
I think we're good.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.